We want to thank ATI Physical Therapy for helping us power these episodes that were recorded at CSM this year. Have you ever thought about where your career in physical therapy could take you? It's not just about the job, it's about making real connections that help patients get better faster. Imagine working somewhere you can grow through mentorship and get leadership training that matters. Sounds like a place you'd fit right in? Find out more at ATIPT.com.
So how do you what do you typically say when you get to introduce yourself? Is what do you get to do? Because you've got a couple different backgrounds,
yep.
Right? And roles.
Yes.
So it's kind of hard to encapsulate who you are and what you do. But what's your best shot? How do you typically do it?
So I always start off with I'm a PT.
Good.
That's who I am, heart on heart. All right. I like to start that. I'm from New York. I'm from Staten Island, New York. Went down to school at University of Maryland Eastern Shore to do my PT school. That's where I met my wife. And so we went back. I tried to bring her out of Salisbury, Maryland, because that's where she's from. And so we went to New Jersey. We worked there for 2 years. We did travel therapy for about a year. So I showed her the country. I'm like, all right, these are places that we can go. Where do you want to live? And so ATI found me. I was like, all right, ATI is a great company. We have many locations. Where do you want to go? And she's like, let's go home. I said, where's home? She's like, Salisbury, Maryland. So here we are, Eastern Shore of Maryland. And I've been there for, let's see, since 2018, 2019. I started there as a clinic director. Went up to a multi-site clinic director. And then this thing, pandemic happened.
Yeah. It was on the news.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then decided to get my MBA. So I've always had an idea.
Good for you.
I've always had an idea of being a VP or how do I lead an organization to make a change in our environment, in our healthcare. And PT is a way that I can do that. So took about 2 years, got my MBA, and during that time, ATI offered what we call district director pathways. And we go to Chicago as a cohort. So I was in a cohort of 20 individuals.
And you'd already done your MBA at this point?
I was almost finished.
Okay, so you were doing, okay, yep. Simultaneously.
Cool. So 6 months to finish my MBA. And then I had another 6 months to go for my what we call DD pathways. So they grew. What we like to do is grow our individuals to be in our leadership positions within our organization.
Yeah.
During that time, I learned different skills like social styles and how to interact with other individuals.
Yeah.
And I met my boss last year, Thad, and he's like, you know, you've done some university partnerships. What does that look like? Are you interested in this role? And so when I talk to people, I'm like, listen, I'm a PT. I can talk and connect with the students. I always say to people, like, I go back to my college days. I was an RA for some time. I know how to connect.
So
with
you were authority, but you lived amongst the people.
Yes.
And then you can mediate between the two.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm very thankful that ATI has allowed me the opportunity to get my MBA. I've done this DD pathways to become a leader, and now they recognize something I'm good at. So now how do I connect with students on a bigger aspect? So now going to university relations, I'm able to create the strategy on how we can better meet the needs of our students within our organizational business plans.
So we'll go there.
All right.
What are the needs of students? Because what their needs might have been 10 years ago, or shoot, 10 months ago, they're changing all the time. So what are the big ones? Because you're going to probably listen first, I'm guessing, to figure out what it is that they're looking for. See if you have it, because what they actually might be asking for, you might just not be using the same words, right?
100%.
But you're like, oh, we have that, but you call it this. So what are the things? What's on the checklist in their heart and their mind of PT students today?
Yep. And it's not all PT students, but the big top two things I hear throughout my conversations with them, whether it's here or without my other events, is one, student debt, and two, mentorship. So first piece, student loans. I graduated in 2016.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, great.
We're the class of 2016.
Back then, student loans was manageable, in my opinion. I just paid them off not too long ago.
Good for you.
But I'm hearing that students are having a challenging time. So how does ATI meet those needs? So we're offering programs that help pay for their student loans. In various parts of our organization, we're trying to meet the needs of our students. What's that dollar value amount? Not sure yet, because we're still working on seeing how much does it cost annually for each university in each region. Going to school in a private university way different than a public one. And so as I go back to our organization, like, here's what I'm hearing, here's how we can help. Now, another aspect of it is we know that travel is a big way to gain in terms of salary. So ATI has two Explore programs, one that's traditionally for new grads, and one in a more traditional way, our Passport program. So the new grad one, you can do travel with a really good base salary, but you still get that mentorship piece that we want as new grads.
Yeah, I want to explore, but I don't want to feel like I'm completely untethered.
Right.
Because a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago when I was in school, there was a person down the hall who could give me an answer. There was a CI, you know, looking over my shoulder in a good way. And now I don't want to completely lose that. I want to have some guardrails. I always use that analogy. I want to bowl with bumpers.
100%. And I was having a conversation last week with one of my colleagues. This is how she explains to me. In school, we have this umbrella over our heads. Our CIs are protecting us from the rain. Our professors are protecting us from the rain. You take the boards, you become a clinician.
Umbrella closes.
Umbrella is gone. So now how does ATI help you? We create this safety net, this program. Like, all right, I was a traveler once. I went to California, and on my first day there, I saw 26 patients. We're not doing that to our new grads. Yeah. We're creating a program that you want to travel, you want to explore the nation, you want to get paid well, and so we're going to create this safety net. We're going to still teach you and mentor you as if you were one of our employees, because you are, because you matter to us. Eventually, after this two-year program, we want to make sure that you find a home with us, because we want to develop that relationship. We're investing in you and your future.
So you pay attention.
Yeah. Pay attention and listen. And right now, this is different for me, because right now I'm talking a lot. Whereas when I'm talking to students, I'm listening.
A lot of listen, yeah.
Yeah. Our senior vice president of operations, and I'm going to quote this really poorly. He always says, be a rabbit or a bunny. You got big ears, big eyes, and a little mouth. Yeah. Because you want to listen, you want to watch what they're doing, but you don't want to say too much. You don't want to lead them to the wrong direction. You want to listen to what they want. And so in my position as a director of university relations, I'm able to go back to my organization and say, hey, this is what I'm hearing from the field. How can we adapt to them? How can we meet their needs and still be able to produce what we need to produce as an organization?
How have PT students changed? I mean, we graduated in 2016, which simultaneously feels like a long time ago and not that long ago. But have you seen any differences? Because you don't talk to one school.
Nope.
You don't talk to one area of the country. You talk to a lot across the country. What are some things that feel different? Not just about what they're looking for, but I mean, we hear all the time, especially the Academy on Education, just like teaching styles and learning styles are being adapted. That's got to be pretty exciting.
The virtual space has changed us.
There was no Zoom meeting, man. We didn't have that in PT school. That wasn't that long ago.
No, absolutely not. And now we're in an aspect of, I've done X amount of my education on a virtual space.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to bring it back in, and I'm going to be with individuals all day long.
Yeah.
So it's the important piece of like remembering, hey, the student might not have been 40 hours with somebody all day long. Now, how do we match that? How do we guide them to the right direction?
Right.
And so that, I think that's what the biggest piece that I didn't get as a student back in 2016, like you said, we didn't have that virtual space. I was in a classroom. I sat with my books open. I wrote my notes. And students right now have this challenge of kind of adapting to, I was in a virtual space, but now as a clinician, I don't have a virtual space.
Yeah, they adapted and they have to adapt again. You adapted because the world went to Zoom. The world separated, and now you're asking them to, okay, do the same thing, but vastly different again.
Absolutely. And right now we're in a great partnership with a virtual health or telehealth service, and that's going off for us right now. So is that an opportunity for someone who's interested to go in that space in the future? Or do we have positions open? Join us, and then we'll be able to look, and if there's an opportunity goes up, hey, you might be a great person for this space. Let's have you try it out first. If you do great at it, let's move you to that position. Now you have a piece of being in the clinic, a piece being virtual, and now we also adapted to where your learning space was, and now we can make that happen in the clinical space.
People like safety, and they like flexibility. They like, when I talk to students, I say hips or shoulders.
Yeah.
Right? So they're both ball and socket joints.
Yeah.
But one is super stable with some mobility, and the other is super mobile with a little bit of stability, right? The hip being more stable. I think what intimidates, or what I hear from students intimidates, if I just sign up, now I'm just one person amongst thousands of clinicians, and I'm just going to move across the assembly line. The only thing that changes is the number of years I've been there.
Oh, yep.
And I think organizations like ATI and others have recognized this and said, we need different pathways. And you mentioned that before. There are different ones. I've talked to a couple of your colleagues throughout this week, I don't think I've talked to two people who've done the same thing.
Right.
And but they seem they were PTs when they started, most of them, but they haven't done the same thing. So is it sort of it feels like choose your own adventure, right? With what fires you up, there's probably a thing for that.
Absolutely. And I was funny you bring this up because I was talking to someone about a week or two ago. As PTs, we think that we're in one direction of helping our population of our patients, which is very important. And the pathways we talk about is what's your 5 to 10 year plan? If you know your 5 to 10 year plan, like, we can help you get there.
Right.
So for me, did I say I was going to come to HR when I came out? No, I didn't come to, but ATI has shown me that I can do two realms. Maybe one day right now I'm not treating, but 2 or 3 years from now, I could be treating again. I have that opportunity. Our CD Pathways teaches our clinicians how to be clinic directors. In the past, you know, different organizations or different organizations I've worked for has been like, you were my top performer, let's put you in a leader role. We make sure that you know how to lead people, because that's what we need, leading people to help others.
Yeah.
And then we have getting from one clinic site to multi-sites. How do you balance your time between two or three different clinics to make sure that they still feel heard? Like, the fear of being one person in a large organization, I get that.
Yeah.
And so with these pathways, with our district directors, with my team, we're actually looking at each individual and saying, all right, you've created your goal and your path. And within our organization, which part of program do you want to be a part of so that we make sure that you get there? Because, you know, we want to make sure our own lives are happy. I wake up every day. I'm happy to do what I'm doing.
Yeah, it seems like it. You smile an awful lot, man. It comes across, so don't worry about that. People are getting it. But there's the thing I don't want to do is we have talked to people who've done, and I call them weird stuff, right? Like, the stuff that you're doing is non-traditional. I call it weird. It's a little weird.
Yep.
That's fun.
It is.
People sort of like the edges. There's a down the middle path. If you want to treat patients and that's what your thing is, that's still there. I didn't want to not mention that. Oh, by the way, there is the straight clinical path, whatever that might mean for you.
Right. So it's, if I want to go back to the clinical world, that's what I'm going to do. One day I'll go back and say, hey, yeah, like, let's go back to the clinical world. They'll find a place for me. Let's go there.
Yeah.
I want to be a operator leader. I'll go in that path. If with our residencies program, if I say I want to be an OCS or SCS, I'll go in my resident and fellowship programs. We have so many different opportunities within our organization that I know that whichever makes me happy and get up every day to go to work, I can achieve that. As long as I work for it.
Yeah. What excites you the most about the profession? Not necessarily the student. You can't say the students.
Okay.
Everybody does that, and I get it. Students are so exciting. They're the future, right? That's off the board. What else excites you? What are the things that you're hearing around CSM, the profession, things that you notice that make you go, oh, yeah, great things are around the corner for the profession?
Technology.
Yeah.
2016, 2017, we have technology was starting to boom. I think we're at climbing that mountain, and more things are coming out. How do we save our own bodies? How do we help individuals? That makes it's an easy button. We're not trying so hard to find different things to achieve an outcome. For example, our EMR system. I can finish my notes in 2 minutes, whereas for other systems, it takes me 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
So we built that. We understand, and we have the capabilities of improving our technology to make it easier to be a clinician. If I want to help, I can become a PT to help someone, and I want to spend time with them. We've adapted. We said, here's a system where you can do 2 minutes of your notes documentation, spend more time with the patients, because that's what you want and that's what the patients want.
We thought we were so advanced in 2016, 2017.
Oh, yes.
I didn't feel slow. I didn't feel not connected. Then you get now and you look back and you're like, oh, gosh, there wasn't this. And then you have to say, oh, in 5 or 7 more years, it will be vastly different. I can't really even begin to wrap my head around it, but just know that the only constant is change and adaption.
And I think we can continually improve. And I hope that we continually improve as a profession. Because healthcare isn't stagnant. And I tell people that all the time. Healthcare isn't stagnant.
It can't be.
And if we're stagnant, we're not getting anywhere. So we continually improve as a profession, as healthcare, as an organization, as individuals and treating clinicians. That's why we have research. And there's plenty of, I'm not sure if you walked today, all those posters.
Yeah.
People are doing great work out there.
Yeah.
How do we adapt that into our clinics, into our mindsets, to make the things and life easier
yeah.
for us?
My mindset is we make better posters. I gave a presentation yesterday in research, and I was like, I love your posters. You researchers are so smart, but we need to pair you with a person who knows how to design billboards. We're a graphic designer. And here's why. Because our brains are the audience.
Yes.
And we, you know, we consume information differently. So I am excited. That field is really science communication. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. And as we go back and look at our research, we get to go see if our students or our clinicians are interested in exploring different parts of our country, learning about the different research. How do we incorporate that? How does the Northeast do things that we do in the West Coast yeah. or in the Southeast? And part of that Explore program that I talked about previously helps us guide us there, like putting students or our clinicians in different parts of our areas, moving that mindset and training to a different part. So, for example, in our Explore launch, we had a 1 year, you go 1 year in one place, and then you're six months afterwards, we move you to a different location. Great aspect. You get a relocation bonus, we're covering your next license, but it also helps us as an organization how to bring that research to the Northeast, or how we bring it to yeah. Texas, and how to keep moving things along and make sure that every region is getting the spice that we look for when yeah. we came out as a new grad.
I break everything down to emotions, and I think that exploring is the opposite of the scary emotion,
uh-huh.
which is, well, now I'm done. There's no more milestones, or there's no more choice, because when I'm in college, I can go to choose my own adventure, and now I'm here, and it's just do it for another year. To hear that there's not says that you pay attention to what I always pay attention to people's fears and hopes. You pay attention to those two aspects,
yep.
the scary side and the good side, and you can really touch an emotion. So to hear that explore, I mean, just sounds exciting.
Yeah, and that's why we call exploring as a student, like, that's that shiny object.
Yeah.
I get to explore, say, Washington, or I was a traveler. I lived in South Carolina for a while. If I lived in Columbia, South Carolina, which I did, where I get to go to Charleston, I get to go to Atlanta, I get to go to North Carolina, all in that small aspect. And I'm exploring the nation, which a lot of students want, being able to explore the country, but also exploring themselves as a clinician.
Yeah, you're going to learn different things.
Yes, absolutely.
We all do the same thing, we just do it in slightly different ways. And the only way you can really experience it is do it there.
Yeah.
That's why you go to Europe, you don't just read about Europe.
Yep.
You got to kind of live there, you got to go visit.
Absolutely, and we understand the challenges of moving from location to location.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why we have those relocation bonuses. We put in your spots that you want. We're not saying, oh, this is the only we got, this is where you're going. We're continually making sure that we're keeping our employees happy to meet their needs and what their wants are to create that program for them.
All right. You've heard me do this, right? At Northeastern, we end every episode with a parting shot.
Yep.
It's your chance to be sort of prophetic, your mic drop moment. What would your parting shot be?
I've always been told this. It's take care of the little things so the big things take care of themselves.
Yeah.
So, for example, as for me, I was a clinician and I took care of the little things. I got my MBA. I did my DD pathways, and now I'm in direct university relations, and I get to look at our Tufts University partnerships. That's a big thing for us, our Tufts University partnership. How do we take care of the little things within our organization
yeah.
to work with our university partners to get our students, our employees back into PT school, excite them about the profession,
yeah.
Because the big thing will take care of itself. As a profession, if we get them to the universities, we get them learning, as students, how do we take care of ourselves to get to our final goal? My final goal, I told you, I got my MBA, yeah. I work for this organization. I want to be a VP level. Students, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
How do you take care of the little things to be the big thing?
It makes it achievable too, because if you said climb the whole mountain in one shot, you can't do it.
Yes,
but if you break it down to, I mean, little things are the big things.
Oh, yeah.
When you zoom in on the big things,
yep.
they're just a pile of little things that you need to knock out.
Right.
So don't try to eat the elephant all at once. It's eat it bite by bite.
Yes, and we're coming into my profession. I'm very thankful for our partners because it's made my role so much easier.
Yeah.
Talking with Dr. Eric over in Tufts University, he's just eased me my way in, and he's like, "All right, this is how we're going to go it." how we're going to do it, and how can we continue to partner together. And I'm very excited for what I'm about to do over the next few years. I'm very excited what I can contribute to our organization and what our organization can contribute to our profession.
Kelvin, appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thanks for doing what you do, man.
All right, appreciate it.